had a lengthy constructive meeting, I think, with Thomas Massey and Marjorie Taylor Greene. We have discussed some ideas, and we're going to meet again tomorrow. I just want to say, and I told them, and I've said this repeatedly, that I understand the frustration. I share it.
I have been patient, I have been diligent, I have been steady, and I have been focused on the facts. And none of that has changed.
That is House Speaker Mike Johnson and Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene following their nearly two-hour meeting yesterday. Was it productive? We'll have to wait and see. They're supposed to meet once again today. And as we know, Marjorie Taylor Greene has said she will move forward with a motion to vacate. Let's ask Ryan Schmelz what he is finding out there on Capitol Hill, Fox News radio correspondent and WJR contributor. Good morning, Ryan.
Hey, good morning, Jamie.
So what happened in this meeting? Marjorie Taylor Greene didn't seem as adamant yesterday.
No, and it's kind of hard to know what they truly discussed. Everyone's been kind of tight-lipped in the hours since then. One thing I think that stood out was that you have Paul Gosar, who is the other congressman who signed on to the motion to vacate, not being there. I believe he had a travel issue based off what he said. But he said that he doesn't think it's going to happen this week, meaning the vote on the motion to vacate, which would be a big change considering the fact that Marjorie Taylor Greene said she would pull the trigger this week. But it looks like we're going to have another round of meetings with her meeting with Speaker Johnson at 12:30 later today. It looks like Massey will be joining her for that one as well. The other congressman who's signing on to the motion to vacate, whether or not the third will be there or not is still kind of a mystery, but it seems like they're trying to hash their differences out right now.
Ryan, I'm just trying to figure out what could the speaker give her to make her back off? What is it that she wants that he would actually go for?
Yeah, no, it's hard to know. I mean, one thing we could put into context, though, is that they met for almost 2 hours, I think a little bit more than 2 hours yesterday. And, you know, from what we understand is that they were expected to have their weekly leadership meeting, which is the elected leadership conference. That means all the leaders of some of the different conferences like the Freedom Caucus, the Main Street Caucus, the RSC, all meet once a week before on the respective flying days before Congress gets really into business. And based on what I was told is that all of them kind of sat in a conference room for about 30 minutes until a staffer finally came in and told them that they can leave. So that just goes to show how long and how deep this conversation was going, that they had to cancel some of their leadership meetings because of this.
Well, let's be clear what this is about. She's trying to get a fig leaf here because she's already been told she's going to fail. So yeah. Where is her leverage? There are no big votes coming up in the U.S. House. Yeah. FISA's authorized. Ukraine aid is on its way. Exactly what can she extract from him?
Well, there is going to be an appropriations process down the road, and that's going to be a big part of funding the government. So I think she does have something there she could try for, but she hasn't really said what she specifically wants out of Speaker Johnson when it comes to what it would take for her to drop this motion to vacate and for him to save his job. But based off what we understand is that if Democrat leadership is going to support a motion to table, the motion to vacate, then, I mean, yeah, she really doesn't have the votes anymore. She's got two other people who are signed on to the motion to vacate. One of them is clearly saying that he doesn't want this to happen this week. So she doesn't have much leverage anymore the way she used to. And we'll have to kind of wait and see what she decides to do this week.
Well, the speaker doesn't have that much, there's the smallest majority in U.S. history with this one vote margin. So he doesn't have that much leverage either when it comes to bringing conservative bills to the floor.
Exactly. And I think it became a one seat margin as of yesterday in terms of any given vote. And, you know, like you said, it's something that Speaker Johnson alludes to. And he said this yesterday after the meeting that, you know, we're in the smallest majority in history based off what Speaker Johnson says. He uses a ton of football references whenever he talks about this. And yesterday, his reference was, you cannot throw a touchdown pass on every single play. And what was funny about that is that we had another reporter from another network who was not there when Speaker Johnson said that. So he caught him as he was leaving the floor when usually the press kind of hounds him. And he's like, can you just repeat that football analogy one more time? And Speaker Johnson looked like he had a huge grin on his face when he was explaining it for a third time, because I think he was kind of happy that someone was asking him that kind of question.
The former president, we know he's going through what he's going through, but, you know, he has, apparently he supports Mike, Speaker Johnson. So will he have any play in this decision once they, you know, get finished meeting and hashing it out? Will he be able to, you know, have one person either go one way or the other?
No, we'll have to wait and see. You know, the president hasn't, or the former president has not spoken out on what he would like to see done with this situation. He has said that he stands with Speaker Johnson. He has said that consistently and has not given us any indication that he has any type of strained relationship with the speaker. From what we understand, they talk relatively frequently every once in a while. And some of the other networks are reporting that I believe Marjorie Taylor Greene actually spoke to former President Trump. We're working on getting that confirmed individually. But whether or not he's going to have anything to do with this and whether or not this gets resolved or not, I don't know.
You know, he seems to be having a message of the day every time he goes mm-hmm. into court or comes out, which is, you know, pretty effective use of that camera time. But you would think that he might want to send a, throw a little support Mike Johnson's way. Do we know for those House members in difficult districts that are standing for re-election in November, who is pleading their case?
Oh, I think that they kind of make it very clear every time they have the opportunity to, which is that this is a waste of time. And a lot of them believe this proves that, or at least sends the message that the GOP has some issues with governing. And I think that they will oftentimes give themselves the benefit of the doubt when they talk about the fact that it is a slim majority. And anytime one thing goes wrong, a bill could be sank if they don't have support from Democrats. But, you know, I think when you talk about an issue like the Ukraine aid, that was something that was very divisive amongst Republicans. And after that vote went down, you know, you saw a number of them starting to speak out a little bit differently. And what one congressman was kind of arguing to me was that, well, you know, we could have attached border security to the Ukraine bill or to the foreign aid bill. The issue is that we have members of our conference who won't vote for any type of foreign aid at all. So we can't attach any type of border security to that, because if we attach border security to that, then Democrats aren't going to vote for it. And so we're in this tough situation where, you know, we want to get border attached to Ukraine, but because we're not on the same page, we can't do that.
Well, just yesterday, she retweeted Thomas Massie, and they're still calling Speaker Johnson, quote, compromised, even though he's just trying to work with a very slim majority. Ryan Schmelz, right. Fox News radio correspondent and JR contributor, thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you, as always.
Coming up, Vice President Harris was in town talking about $100 million for small and medium-sized auto part manufacturers. Let's talk to the manufacturers about what they think next.